Ooh, I'm really not sure about far greater. There we go. Anyway, thank you for your encouragement this morning. That's really nice of you. Thank you. Obviously got one or two of my, well, perhaps my fan in here this morning. So that's good, isn't it? It was a scene of great excitement. Everyone had come to the annual celebration, and they were going to enjoy it. It was the start of the festival. They were going to have a good time. They always did. And this year wasn't going to be any different. They were nearly there, and the kids had been asking for miles. It was the highlight of the year, and they were ready for a party. Some of the crowd recognised the man on the donkey and started singing. Someone grabbed a palm branch and waved it like a flag, and the others joined in. The crowd were in the mood for dancing. Coats came off and turned into the carpeted road for the donkey. The donkey rider had been pulling the crowds and causing quite a stir. He'd said and done things that had amazed, intrigued, puzzled, excited, annoyed, shocked and outraged. But just maybe this was his moment. Maybe he would take this opportunity to do something even more amazing. The man on the donkey looked straight ahead. He seemed focused on his destination. None of the crowd knew what was going to happen that week. They were people like us. We don't know what's going to happen, what's just around the corner. We don't know that either. We don't know what delights or disasters. That's because we're not meant to know. That's how God made us. He knows our future. And he's designed us to trust him as we walk into it. But the man on the donkey, who looked and was completely human, was also God himself. So he did know everything that was going to happen that week. And being human, he had the choice. And he chose to go. Well, apart from the fact that Jesus was God, you might be saying, how can we be sure that he knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem? That the whole thing wasn't just a plan that had gone disastrously wrong. Well, there are reasons why we can be sure that Jesus knew. Firstly, this is what Jesus had said to his disciples. Luke records this for us. He was speaking about himself and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. So Jesus definitely knew. Everybody around would have read what the prophet Isaiah had said when he spoke of Jesus all those years before. He'd said he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought the troubles, his troubles, were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's plans to follow our own. But the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. And when Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, he said this in his first sermon, but God knew what would happen. And his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you, talking to the Jews, with the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and killed him. So as Jesus rides the donkey into Jerusalem, he's not under any misapprehension as to what awaits him there. He's already seen the rejection, denial, betrayal, injustice and humiliation. He's seen the torture, excruciating pain and cruel death. But he still went. All of this means that Jesus completely understands us. So if you've ever known what it's like to be misunderstood, well, Jesus has known that too. If you've ever explained your deepest feelings and fears to a friend and been ignored, that's something Jesus knows too. If you've ever needed friends to be with you and they've walked away, Jesus has known that too. If you've ever been let down by someone you trusted, Jesus has known that too. And if you've experienced betrayal and been denied by your closest friends, that was Jesus' experience as well. If you've ever been laughed at, ever been jeered or mocked or humiliated, well, Jesus knows what that's like. If you've ever been falsely accused, experienced a terrible injustice, been innocent and yet punished, well, so has Jesus. Of course, you'll have not have stood before the highest authority in the land and been humiliated, been declared innocent, but then by what you might call an unexpected turn of events, being condemned to crucifixion by a screaming mob of your own people, led by the most godly people around. But Jesus experienced all that, and the worst death that the Roman authorities could devise, with excruciating pain and torture, and as a public spectacle, he'd been unjustly killed. And during this experience, he spoke words of forgiveness. It's amazing. And he expects that to be our response too. Jesus knew all this was going to happen to him. He'd been predicting it all through his life. But as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was overwhelmed by the prospect. He realized too that there would be a point when his intimate relationship with God, his Father, would be severed. That's something we never need to experience. But for Jesus, that was devastating. And he'd never felt so alone. So, with all this knowledge that Jesus had, The question is this. What kept Jesus on the donkey? He knew it all. He could have got off the donkey. He could have said, I've taught you how to live. You've seen God break into lives with miracles. You could do that too. I've done everything I need to do now. And he could have got off and lived quietly somewhere out of the public eye. He had the choice. There must have been something that kept Jesus on the donkey. The something that kept Jesus on the donkey was joy. That wasn't necessarily what you might have expected. Personally, it was personal joy for Jesus that kept him on the donkey. You see, he'd seen past the physical, the mental, the emotional and spiritual pain of all the coming events to the joy that was beyond them. And the writer to the Hebrews puts it like this, and this is the writer encouraging us, encouraging his readers. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's why Jesus stayed on the donkey. For Jesus, the joy, I think, was this. He'd successfully completed all he'd come to do. His assignment from God that they'd agreed in that conversation when the earth was being made, and they talked about the plans, and I wish they'd written the conversation down, but it was Jesus and God, and God's going, the plan's this, and Jesus is going, really? Have you got another one? And God says, no other one. Are you up for it? And Jesus says, yes. And so Jesus saw the completion of his assignment from God, and he was satisfied that he would have done what God had asked him to do. Jesus' joy was that he'd been obedient to God. He'd spent his whole life only doing what God wanted him to do in obedience to God. And this was being obedient to God to go to the cross. And he was returning to his rightful place, to the right-hand throne next to his Father God in heaven. Never really thought before, but of course in heaven, for 30-something years, there was a vacancy. There was an empty throne in heaven because Jesus was doing here what God wanted him to do. And he was going back to take his rightful place on his throne, reigning in heaven with his Father. And he'd seen the joy of that. But I don't believe that was all Jesus saw. I don't believe that was all his joy, just his personal joy and satisfaction, because I believe Jesus was so much bigger than that. And I believe that he saw the joy of what he was achieving for us. The cross is the ultimate demonstration of God's amazing grace. And Jesus saw his joy at all the benefits the cross was bringing to us and future generations. Benefits we could never earn, but totally the undeserved favour of God. His amazing grace. This is what Krish Kandaya says, the guy who's written the books that we're using in Life Group, this excellent series of the invitations from the cross. And he says this: God the Father loves Jesus the Son fully and perfectly, and yet he still didn't rescue him because his pain was achieving something of infinite worth. So let's have a look at what was the something of infinite worth that Jesus achieved on the cross, which is what kept Jesus on the donkey, and which he'd seen that brought him great joy. We're going to some verses from Romans chapter 5 to see what did Jesus see that his death would achieve for us. So now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, we can have real peace with him because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, he has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has had in mind for us. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. Lovely. They help us learn to be patient and to endure. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us to trust God more each time we use it. Until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Then when that happens, we will be able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well. For we know how dearly God loves us, and we feel his warm love everywhere within us, because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, with no way of escape, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners who had no use for him. Even if we were good, we really wouldn't expect anyone to die for us, though of course that might be barely possible. But God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. And since by his blood he did all this for us as sinners, how much more will he do for us now that he has declared us not guilty? Now he will save us from all God's wrath to come. And since when we were his enemies, we were brought back to God by the death of his Son, what blessings he must have for us now that we're his friends and he's living within us. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And what a difference between man's sin and God's forgiveness. Jesus Christ brought forgiveness to many through God's mercy. And the result of God's gracious gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we were guilty of many sins. For all who receive it, God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness enables us to live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Christ's righteousness makes men right with God so that they can live. Christ caused many to be acceptable to God because he obeyed. The more we see our sinfulness, the more we see God's abounding grace forgiving us. Before, sin ruled over all men and brought them to death. But now, God's kindness, God's grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good. And so, in those verses, by God's grace, these are the things that Jesus achieved for us. We're made right with God by faith in his promises. We have real peace, peace with God because of what Jesus has done for us. He has brought us to stand in a place of highest privilege. We can look forward confidently and joyfully for all that God's got in mind for us. We can rejoice in problems and trials. They're good for us. They teach us patience and endurance, and that makes our hope and faith become strong and steady. Don't suppose if you want a strong and steady faith, you're likely to be asking for problems and trials. But if they happen to happen, then the result can be that we become strong and steady in our hope and faith. So that's good. We can hold our heads high. Whatever happens, we can know all is well. We know how dearly God loves us. There's no doubt. God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. God has shown his great love to us by sending Jesus to die for us. And that while we were still sinners. God has declared us not guilty. Jesus will save us from God's future wrath. There's no need to fear. We are God's friends. That's better than being God's enemies. But there was no way we could have changed it from one to the other. It's by grace. God is living within us. And we have a wonderful new relationship with God. Jesus brought forgiveness through God's mercy. We know the joy of being forgiven. We can live in triumph over sin and death. We don't need to be beaten by the thought of either of these things. And we're acceptable to God. We weren't, but now we are. We see God's abounding grace forgiving us. And we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's pretty good news. None of these things were ours before Jesus died. They're gifts of God to us out of his kindness and grace. They're what kept Jesus on the donkey. Jesus must have looked at both alternatives, both getting off the donkey and staying on. He must have weighed up the pros and cons, put the awful suffering and death on one side of the scales, and all the things that would become available to us on the other side. All the cost was to Jesus, none to us. To be honest, nobody would go through crucifixion if they had a choice. unless there was a very, very good reason. For me, it would have had to have been a huge reason, a huge benefit, not a small, very insignificant advantage. Not something that I didn't care about very much. Jesus must have cared a lot. And if it had been me, I think I would have tried to negotiate a fairer deal. One in which the recipients made some sort of contributions as well. Something less one-sided. Something that showed they were taking it seriously and were worthy of it in some way. But God insisted that it couldn't be like that. God insisted it was a one-sided deal, with Jesus paying everything and does nothing. He was adamant about that. Then we could never think it was some contribution we'd made that meant we deserved it. Maybe deserved it more than the person around the corner. All given to us because God loves us and demonstrates to us his amazing grace. Jesus looked at the cross and saw the joy of presenting us, you and me, with a gift of a completely new type of life. Of course, it's not a gift we have to accept, but it's an option. It is a possibility, one I'd encourage you to accept. It is a huge gift, and it has no time limit and no small print. We just have to accept it. Of course, if I was giving someone a gift and they hadn't really liked it or wanted it, I would be disappointed. If it was a small gift, I'd be a bit disappointed. If it had cost me a lot, and I knew how great the gift was, I'd be very disappointed. If it had cost me absolutely everything, I'd be devastated. And Jesus knew the joy of those who would receive his free gift. But he knew as well that many wouldn't. And he still gave the gift because he wanted us to be able to choose life. And as we rejoice, we want to help other people to find and follow our Jesus. We deserved punishment and death, but were instead offered a whole new friendship with God because Jesus died instead of us. A week ago, no one had heard of Lieutenant Colonel, I can't say his name right, Arnaud Beltram. Let's call him, shall we? Right. This week, he is heralded as a hero. He offered to take the place of one of the hostages in the shootings in France, in which a number of people died. It cost him his life, and the world declares him to be a hero, and rightly so. Jesus did that for us. He doesn't want a monument putting up. That's not the thing that would bring him joy. His joy is found in seeing us and many, many more people than us accepting his free gift of a new life by faith. That's what brings him most joy. And that's what kept Jesus on the donkey. I'm going to read the words of a song which we sing sometimes. They just seem to say it. A song to Jesus. You chose the cross with every breath, the perfect life, the perfect death. You chose the cross. The crown of thorns you wore for us and crowned us with eternal life. You chose the cross. And though your soul was overwhelmed with pain, obedient to death, you overcame. I'm lost in wonder, lost in love. I'm lost in praise forevermore because of Jesus' unfailing love. I am forgiven. I am restored. You loosed the cords of sinfulness and broke the chains of my disgrace. You chose the cross. Up from the grave victorious, you rose again so glorious. You chose the cross. The sorrow that surrounded you was mine. Yet not my will but yours, you cried. I'm lost in wonder, lost in love. I'm lost in praise forevermore because of Jesus' unfailing love. I am forgiven. I am restored. Amen.